Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, before we get into this message, let's have a moment of honesty. How many of you find it hard to either accept change or implement change? Come on, hey, somebody's looking at you right now. Come on, your spouse, your kids, come on, your parents, come on, somebody's looking at you. How many of you find it hard? Come on, just lift up the hand and say, that's me. I find it hard to accept change, and I find it hard to implement change. See, as we talk about change today, there are two different types of change that I want to talk about. The first type of change that I want to bring your attention to is the type of change that we have to deal with. Come on, when we're talking about the change that we have to deal with, we're talking about change that is forced on us. But I also want to talk to you about another type of change, and that is the type of change that we want to drive in our lives. You see, we don't want to be the same people. We want to be the best version of ourselves. We want to change. We want to grow. We want to develop. And so when we talk about change in that light, what we're talking about is change that has to be forged in the inside. So we see that there is one type of change that is pushed on us. Maybe we could even say that this type of change is an external demand. Well, this is something you had no say-so over. Maybe this came from the government. Maybe this came from your boss. You had no say-so. It was put on you from an outside force. It was an external demand. But when we're talking about change that we want to see in our lives, you see, this comes from an internal desire. This is because we want to change. This is because we want our lives, as Christ followers, we want our lives to look more like Jesus. We want to love our neighbors like He has loved us. We want to forgive others the way that He has forgiven us. We want to shine our light into the world. We want to make a difference. We want to make an impact. You see, that is an internal desire. Whenever we're talking about dealing with change, we are talking about that you're feeling a pressure. Come on, this has happened a whole bunch during this COVID-19 time. Come on, have you been feeling some pressure? Pressure that has come from change. Maybe there's been regulations in your industry that have changed. Maybe your whole world has been turned upside down, and you are feeling that pressure, and you are having to deal with the changes that were completely out of your control. But when we're talking about change that we drive in our lives, what we're talking about is we're talking about potential. We are talking about maximizing the gifts and the talents that God has given us. Now, both types of change are vitally important, and we need to know, how do we manage, how do we navigate, how do we handle these two different types of change? Now, there are people that deal with change really well. Come on, now I might not be in that crowd necessarily, but there are people who deal with change. These are the people that they love spontaneity. They love to go with the flow. They're hardwired for that in their DNA, or maybe they were trained by parents who were wired for that, and they just love the fun and the excitement that change can bring. I remember when Destin and I were first dating, and I was over at her house. It was probably 10:30 at night. Her parents had gone out on a date, and they were coming in. And when they walk in the back door, the door flies open, and man, I just remember hearing them yell, "Kids, pack your bags. We're going to Dallas." And I was kind of just stunned and taken back by what's going on. I'm looking kind of towards the back door, and by the time I turn around and look on the couch, Destiny's gone. I mean, just like Houdini, magic trick, poof, she just vanished. And in less than 3 minutes, All six kids are standing in the living room. They got their backpacks and their duffel bags, and they are packed and they're ready to go. I remember going to Destiny and saying, hey, did you know that y'all were going to Dallas? She said, no, I didn't know. I was like, well, where are you going to stay when you get there? She goes, oh, well, we'll find a hotel. I'm like, well, what if that hotel doesn't have any rooms? She says, oh, we'll just go to another hotel. I remember thinking to myself, this is not right. You can't live like this. My family, we're going on vacation to Disney World 6 months from now, and we know where we're eating breakfast on the third day. I remember driving home from her house going, this is not the way to live. You can't live like this. Is just wrong. But can I tell you, there are people that love dealing with the changes and the new. They love it. But then there's also people who are really good at driving change. These are people that they know who they want to be. They get a vision of who they want to be. They get a picture of what they want to accomplish, and they create a plan, and then they show up every single day with maximum effort, grinding out this plan until it comes to pass in their life. Now, rarely people are great at both, but often people struggle with both. Haven't met a whole lot of people who are great, definitely not naturally great at dealing with change and also driving change, but I have met a whole bunch of people who really struggle with both types of change. But this is why we got to know how to handle it, because both types of change are always happening. Things are always changing in the world, so we need to know how to deal with change. And as Christ followers, we should be driving change in our life at the same time. Now, when we really, maybe even when you tuned in today and you saw that word written up right there on the board and you saw change and you had a thought, oh man, change. Like many times we typically don't like change. But here's the truth. We all know that we need to change. We might not like change, but we all know that we need to change. Let me just give you a couple quotes. I love this quote from Helmut Schmidt, and it says, the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. Come on, the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. Come on, that is that desire. We've got to have this desire to improve. I love what Winston Churchill says. He says, to improve is to change. To improve is to change. So he's letting us know that if we do not change, we cannot improve. And here's what happens many times. We get stuck saying things like, well, back in the good old days. Back in the good old days. But when we really think about it, those days weren't exceptional. Those days are just comfortable. Let's stop right here and say, when we think about those good old days that we talk about, those good old days that we remember, they are not really exceptional. Those days are just comfortable. And it is our human nature to want to cling to what we know. Come on, we can find this in the Bible. You don't actually have to go very far in your Bible. When you get to the book of Exodus, we read this story of a man by the name of Moses. Moses was a servant of God, and God sent him back to lead his people out of Egypt, where they have been in bondage for 400 years. 400 years they've been slaves in Egypt, and Moses is coming in to lead God's people out of bondage. And as they come out of Egypt, finally through a series of events, they get out of Egypt and they are on their journey to where God has called them to go, and they run into this barrier. They come to this obstacle called the Red Sea, and they can't advance anymore. And here the people begin to complain and they begin to murmur. And this is what they say in Exodus 14. They say, what have you done to us, Moses? Why did you make us leave Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Now, you see, God had a specific place that he was taking them. And that place is, the real name is Canaan, but it is called the Promised Land. And this is the way that God has described that land. He said it is a land that is flowing with milk and honey, meaning that it is a fruitful and a prosperous place. And here, God's people want to go back to Egypt. Why? Not because Egypt was exceptional. It's because Egypt was comfortable. They want to go back. They said, leave us alone. We would have been better off back there. Why? Because Egypt was a comfortable place. Now, let's parallel this with our life today. And Egypt represents our old life. It represents when we were stuck in sin. It represents when we were in bondage to the wrong beliefs, and we were in bondage to the wrong behaviors. That's what Egypt represents. But when we look at Moses, Moses can represent Jesus. And Jesus is coming to rescue us out of sin. He is coming to lead us out of an old life, but Jesus is not just coming to lead you out of an old life. Jesus is coming to lead you into a new life, because Jesus has a promised place for you. He has a promised land for you. He has a promised life for you, and that is the abundant life. Jesus said, this is the reason I have come, in John 10:10, that you might have life, that you might have it to the full until it overflows. He came for you to have an abundant life. So Jesus comes to bring you out of your old life, but he wants to take you into a brand new life. And now, as Christ followers, we can really love the idea of being forgiven and free, but we don't always love the idea of the challenges that come with change. Come on, we can love the idea that my sins are forgiven, but I don't always love the challenges that come with change. You see, here in the story, we see that they were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. They still had their old way of thinking. They still had an old mentality. They still had old fears. They still had an old hopelessness and despair. They had their old mindset of limitation. And it's the same for many of us today. Maybe we are out of Egypt, but Egypt is not really out of us. We say that Jesus broke the power of sin, but it is up to us to break the pattern of sin. Come on, through Jesus we have eternal life, but it is up to us how much abundant life we live here on this earth. Now, let's just be honest. Change always sounds good. Transformation sounds good. The land of milk and honey, it sounds good. The prosperous land, the fruitful life. Come on, that sounds good. But how many of you know that we hold on tightly to the life that we know? It sounds good, but we cling to and hold on to the life that we know. It's the life that we know. It's the life that we have experienced. We hang on to the life philosophies that we learned from our parents. We hang on to the thoughts and the behaviors that we've been practicing for years. We tend to go with what we know. We tend to go with what we know, not because it's exceptional, but because it's comfortable. Not because it's great, but because it's good enough. Not because it is the best, it's just what we know. I want you to think about this in contrast to what Jesus comes to do and what Jesus says in Mark chapter 1. Now, this is the first message that we really see Jesus preach. This is the beginning of his earthly ministry. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says this: the kingdom of God has come near. This is what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Now, when we look at that word repent, and where does it come from? It comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to change one's mind. And it doesn't just mean to change one's mind. It means to change one's mind with such force that it brings change to somebody's character and somebody's life. That we would change our thoughts, that it would be so drastic, that it would be so tenacious, that we would change our thinking so much that the changing of our thinking would literally change our lives. Now, when we see that word repent, sometimes it comes with some negative connotations, but the word repent and repentance is such a positive thing. It means that we would change our thought processes, that we would go beyond our current mindset so that we could grasp the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is within your grasp. Change the way you think so that you can lay a hold of it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we read the scripture a lot here at North Point, and it simply says this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we see that word transform, that comes from the Greek word metamorphosis, which means to change shape or form. To change shape or form. Come on, we know metamorphosis from the caterpillar, right? The caterpillar turns into the butterfly. Come on, that is metamorphosis. It is a complete change. And this is what it is for us. It is the process that leads to an outward or permanent change. It is the process that leads to a permanent change. So I want you to see how this works. See how this works. When I repent, when I change my way of thinking and I change my way of believing, then I begin to transform. I permanently change my way of being and my way of behaving. And only then do I understand. Only then can I see clearly God's will for my life, who He has called me to be, and maybe even more importantly, how I can become it. How I can become it. You see, this is the amazing thing that happens when I enter into this process of repentance, of changing my thinking and changing my believing. It leads to the transformation of my life, this transforming of my life, this transforming of my being, who I am, and of my behaving, the actions of my life. And then I begin to understand, I begin to see clearly God's will and His purpose and His plan. And not just that I see what it is, I see how it is possible in my life. Now, isn't it interesting that the thing we are convinced that we don't like or we're not good at, change, is literally the thing that brings the kingdom of God to earth so that God's will can be done through us on earth as it is in heaven? I want you to think for just a moment how the enemy has abused and misused this concept of change to convince you that you don't like change, to convince you that you are not good at change, because he knows that the whole kingdom of God operating powerfully on the earth is rooted in change. It is rooted in change. You changing your mind, you changing your behavior so you can see and understand that the kingdom of God might move in you and move powerfully through you so that the earth might know the glory and the power and the goodness of our God. And the enemy has convinced you that you don't like change. You're not good at change. You don't need to change. I love this quote from George Bernard Shaw that says this: progress is impossible without change. Come on, we could just stop right there. Progress is impossible without change. Here at North Point, what do we say discipleship is? Discipleship is our process to progress. Progress is not possible if we do not change. And he says, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. Come on, I want you to see that's so powerful. If you can't change your mind, you can't change anything. Come on, this is just the prescription. This is just the process that Jesus gave us. The changing of our mind leads to the changing of our life, which leads to the changing of our destiny and how we live our life here on this earth. But here's the first thing. The first thing that we need to look at when we look at change is we need to change the way that we think about change. We need to change the way that we think about change. I know what you're thinking right now, like, man, we're only about halfway finished with the message. Like, what are we going to do with this board? Well, you know, here's what I thought. I thought since we're talking about change, we'll just make it real simple. See, I couldn't have done that if I was in person. Come on, like I said, we've got to change the way that we think about change. And that starts with us asking the question, why do we resist change? Let me give you four reasons why we resist change. The first reason that we resist change is laziness. People say, I won't change. I won't change. It's not because they don't want to change. It's not because they don't know how to change. It's because they are not going to put the work in that is necessary for the change to happen in their life. So we see laziness. The next thing that can keep us from change is simply ignorance. Ignorance. Now, ignorance really happens in two different ways. The first way that ignorance shows up is that people say, I don't need to change. I don't need to change. They are completely blind to the pitfalls in their own life. They honestly cannot see the realities of their current attitude or their current behavior, and they are totally ignorant. But there's another side of ignorance and why we don't change, and that is, I don't know how to change. So it's not that I don't need to change. It's I don't know how. I don't have the skills, I don't have the tools, I don't have the practical handles, or I don't have the people in my life who can help me and teach me how to change. Here's the third thing, reason that we don't change, and that is fear. Come on, fear says, I can't change. I can't change. Many people have tried to change and they failed before. And so what do? They don't want to try again because they feel like if they try again, they're going to fail again. Maybe you have not changed because you're thinking, man, I'm going to expose some weaknesses, or I don't know exactly the way that this is going to play out. And man, I don't want to have to feel those feelings that change can bring. Or maybe some people just don't believe that they're going to be able to sustain the change. They think they might could do it for a week or maybe a month, but they don't know if they're going to be able to sustain that change. And they're just afraid. They just feel like, man, maybe I'm not enough. Maybe I don't have what it takes to live that kind of life. And their fear keeps them from changing. And then finally, we get to the last reason that people don't change. And that has to do with ego. Ego, and that's just people saying, I don't want to change. I don't want to change. Or maybe even take it a step further, I should not have to change. They point out the flaws and the faults in others, things that other people need to change while avoiding change themselves. They point to their superior accomplishments while glazing over their not so superior attitudes, and they're just the ego, pride, arrogance. Why should I have to change? Other people should have to change for me, not me changing for other people. Now, whenever you look at this, you can see that the things that keep us from changing, it spells life. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I just have a moment of honesty? I wasn't even trying to spell anything. I know you don't believe me right now, but I wasn't trying. These are the four things that I picked. And originally, when I had them picked out, it spelled file. And I thought, wow, well, that kind of works out good because we can talk about file 13, right? You got to take all of these reasons why you resist change. You got to put them in file 13, right? You got to put them in the trash. You got to put them in the garbage. You got to get rid of them. But then when I said, wait a minute, if it spells file, then that means it spells life too. And so when you put this in this context, I want you to see this. That as you resist change, the thing that you are resisting is the life that God created for you. As long as you are holding on to these excuses and resisting change, you are resisting what God wants to do in your life, because God wants to change your mind. God wants to change your beliefs. God wants to change your way of being. God wants to change your behavior so that you might experience His life. You see, if you resist the change, then what you're doing is you are holding on to your life. You are holding on to your way. And if you hold on to your way, you are not going to experience His way. You're not going to walk in the abundance that God intended for you to walk in. So we need to see, this is why we resist change. We resist change for these four reasons. I love what Confucius says. Confucius says, they must often change who would be constant in happiness or wisdom. Come on, I want you to see that right there. Come on, you have to change often. If you want to be constant in happiness, if you want to be happy, you've got to be changing. If you want wisdom, if you want to be wise, then you must constantly be changing in your life. So here we come back to these two questions. Remember our two types of change that we started with? We started with this first type of change that says, hey, there are change that we have to deal with. And then we said there is change that we need to drive. There's change we need to deal with, and there's change that we need to drive. So let's take a look just for a moment. How do we deal with change that comes from the external demand? How do we deal with this change that comes from outside pressure? How do you deal with change? The first thing that you need is you need clarity. You need clarity. What can I control and what can I not control? This is vitally important that you ask yourself these two questions so that you can get greater clarity in your life. You see, if you don't control what you can, and you spend all of your time trying to control what you can't, then things will seem out of control. Let me say that to you again. If you don't control what you can control, and you spend all of your time trying to control the things that you cannot control, then things are going to seem as if they are out of control. You need to get clarity about a few things. The first thing you need to get clarity about is what are my core values? If you don't already have a set of established core values, this is the time for you to come up with one. What are the core values of your life? And then take that one step further. What can I do to live those out in this season? What can I do to live those out in this storm? What can I do to live those out in this adversity, in this challenge, in this test? What can I do? I know what they are, but what can I do to live those out? Here's the second thing that you need to get clarity about. What are my goals? What is my goal during this season? Now, when you get clear about your goals, you need to take that one step further and then ask yourself, what can I do to accomplish those goals? So not just what are my goals, but now what can I do? I've got to get some clarity around what I can control, what I can't control. And then I've got to put all of my time and attention to what I can control. And that is the way that I respond to this. I'm going to respond out of my core values, and I'm going to create some goals that are going to allow me to not just be who I want to be, but accomplish what I need to accomplish during this season. So when we're dealing with change, you've got to get clarity. But not just clarity, you need to get consistency. You need to get consistency. You see, the more chaotic things seem to be, the more consistent you need to be. The more chaotic and man, the more the winds are blowing and the things are swirling, the more consistent you need to be. You need to be more consistent with your prayer, more consistent with your Bible reading, more consistent with your worship. You need to be more consistent about those things during difficult, chaotic seasons. But not just that. What are these other things? See, this is why we've got to get clarity, because our clarity pushes us in this direction of consistency. So we begin to say things like, okay, man, there are things that I can control. Every day I can control my morning routine. I can make my bed. I can control my exercise. I can control my diet, what I'm taking in. I can control my water intake. I can control all of these things, many of these things that we've talked about. But in moments of chaos, we've got to fight for consistency. We've got to fight for consistency. You've got to take care of your soul, and you've got to take care of yourself. Come on, I call it a soul check and self-care. So you got to do a soul check. You've got to search your soul, search your heart during times. You got to do that search, and then you've got to take care of yourself. Do something you know that's going to put life back in you. Put energy and enthusiasm back in you. You've got to take care of yourself, but you do that through being consistent. You've got to be consistent. Now, here's the third thing that you can do whenever it comes to dealing with change. You've got to get clarity. You've got to get consistency, but let me tell you, you also need community. You also need community. You know why you need community? Because you need to know that you are not alone. You know what else? You don't just need to know that you are not alone. You need to know that you are not the only one that is going through this challenge. You are not the only one walking through hard times. And we figure that out whenever we walk life out with one another. You see, this helps us stay engaged and stay encouraged. When you live life in community, when you live life with people, God did not create you to live alone. And let me just make a quick plug right now for our NCC groups. We are just launching our fall semester groups. You need to get in a group. Why? Because things are changing. And when things are changing and you're having to deal with the change, you need community like never before. Let community encourage you. Let community keep you engaged. Because come on, let's just take a look. What is the opposite of that? Come on, not being engaged, being discouraged, disengaged and discouraged. Who wants to be disengaged? Who wants to be discouraged? Nobody wants to be disengaged and discouraged. So whenever we are dealing with change, we need community. We need people in our lives. Okay, that's how we deal with change. Now let's talk about how do we drive change, because both are happening. We need both in our lives, dealing with change and driving change. How do we drive change in our life? We drive change through communication. The first person that you need to be communicating with is yourself. Come on, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You are crazy if you don't. We need to talk to ourselves. You need to tell yourself who you are, and you need to tell yourself where you are going. You need to do that through daily declarations. I know we say this all of the time. We've said it so many times during this series, but I'm going to continue to say it until everybody is doing it. Daily declarations are so powerful. The Word of God says the power of life and death is in your tongue. You need to be speaking life over your life every day through daily declarations. How about some afternoon affirmations? Come on. Instead of having to hit that afternoon coffee, you need to hit that afternoon affirmation, and you need to remind yourself about who you are and where you are going. But don't stop at communicating with yourself. You also need to talk to others. You need to communicate with others. Why? Because this creates accountability. And let me take this one step further here and say, this shows how serious you really are about driving change. It's one thing when you say it to yourself, because if you don't do it, then you are the only one that knows you failed. You are the only one that knows you did not keep your commitment. You are the only one that knows that you didn't carry it through. But whenever you tell somebody else knows. This is how you know when you are serious. When you start communicating who you want to be, what you want your life to look like, where you want to go, and what you want to accomplish in life, when you start telling other people. See, you need to communicate to yourself, but you also need to communicate and tell others if you want to drive change. Here's the second thing. If you're going to drive change, you're going to need correction. You're going to need correction in your life because you're going to make mistakes. You're practicing a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of behaving. You are practicing a brand new life. You are going to make mistakes, so you've got to be okay with correction if you want to drive change. I might even say coaching here. You need a coach in your life who is inspiring you and instructing you towards the change that you want to see in your life. Think about it for a moment. The best competitors in the world have a coach. The best competitors in the world have somebody critiquing every part of their game. Every part of their game. Now notice, the best competitors in the world, they don't have cheerleaders. They don't just have somebody on the side saying, oh, you're doing so good. You're doing so great. Oh, just keep it up. No, they have a coach because they need somebody to be honest with them. They need somebody to tell them the truth. And how many of you know sometimes the truth hurts. The truth hurts. You need somebody who will correct you. You need somebody who will tell you the truth. You got to have somebody who will be honest with you. One, you need to learn how to be honest with yourself. We say at North Point, I believe personally, that's the hardest thing that you'll ever do in your life is to be 100% gut level honest with yourself. And so if you're not honest, you can't correct yourself. That's why you got to talk to other people, because you need to be correcting yourself, and you need to invite that correction or that coaching, that instruction, that honesty, that transparency, that truth from somebody else. You know, whenever I was a coach and I was coaching football, I would tell people that I'm going to coach you hard. And what I would say is that when I coach you hard, it's going to sting, but it's that sting that will bring the ring. It's the sting that will bring the ring. Come on, that state championship ring. That's what we're talking about right now. And if you can take the sting, you can have a ring. Come on, it's the same in your life. If you can take the sting of coaching, if you can take the honesty of coaching, if you can take the truth of coaching, then you can have a ring, meaning that you can be the very best that you can be. You can drive change in your life if you will learn to love correction. Here's the last thing that I'm going to leave you with today as we're talking about driving change in our life. That if you're going to really drive that change, there's got to be celebration. There's got to be celebration. You have to learn how to celebrate along the journey. Don't just wait for the end to celebrate. Learn how to celebrate along your journey. Learn how to cheer for yourself. I do this so well, it's like a spiritual gift. Come on, Destiny will tell you, it drives her crazy. Come on, I just cheer for myself. Whatever I do, I didn't eat that cupcake. Yeah, I'm just cheering. I went to the gym today. Yeah, I'm just cheering for, I have learned, I'm not waiting till I get all the way to the end of the goal. I'm not waiting till I get to the end of the marathon. I'm running late. I made it 1 mile. I made it 2 miles. I'm doing so good. I'm clapping for myself. And you don't even realize it, but so many times in service, come on, what do I say? What do I say to you? I say, hey, come on, clap for yourself right now. I'm trying to teach you how to celebrate, how to cheer for yourself, because it is vital. If you are going to drive change in your life, you have got to learn how to celebrate along the way. This is just what I've discovered. I've discovered that celebration brings the inspiration that I need to continue down the path of change. Because this is hard. Driving change in your life, becoming everything that God created you to be, producing the fruit that God wants you to produce, this is not easy. And you need the inspiration that celebration will give you. So learn how to celebrate along the journey so you don't quit and you don't give up. Too many people stop along the pathway to change. Too many people, they get on the road, they get on the pathway, but then it gets hard, it gets difficult, and they get tired, and they get weary, and they quit, and they stop driving the change that they need in their life because they did not learn this secret. I've got to celebrate along the way. Find something to celebrate every day. Well, there's something that you can celebrate every single day. Hey, celebrate the fact that you didn't cuss today on airline drive. Just celebrate. Celebrate that. Come on, just celebrate. Celebrate the little one. You brought your friend a Starbucks coffee. Come on, you gave your boss. Come on, just celebrate yourself. You encouraged somebody in the store. Just celebrate these things. Learn how to celebrate along the way. You need to find something every single day in your life that you can celebrate. You see, change. Change is essential. Change is essential in the kingdom of God. Change is essential for us to live the abundant life. And if we're going to live the abundant life, we've got to know how to deal with the change that life brings. But we also need to know, how do I drive the change that Jesus wants to bring in my life? How do I deal with the change, and how do I drive the change? And here's the thing. I can't let these rob me of the life that God created me to live. Don't let any excuse, any resistance to change rob you of what God wants to do in your life. Come on, change is essential for the kingdom of God. God wants to change your mind. God wants to change your life. God wants to change your actions. God wants to change your future. He wants to change. Change is a part of the kingdom. So let's don't resist the change. And by resisting change, resist what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us. But instead, say, God, here I am. God, I am ready for the change. I am prepared to deal with the change that this world brings, the change that life brings, and I am prepared to drive the change that you want in my life. You see, you can handle both changes. Come on, you can. They're both always happening, and you can handle them both because the Spirit of Christ is operating powerfully on the inside of you. You are not alone. God is helping you to deal with the change. God is helping you to drive the change. And as long as we don't let these things rob us of the life that God created us to live, we will live that best life that God created us for. Come on, let me pray for you right now. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for your truth. God, thank you that you are moving. Thank you that you are working. Thank you that you are changing. Thank you that you are transforming. God, thank you that you are bringing your super into our natural, even in this moment. God, we just confess that we need you. We need you. With all the things that are changing in the world, with the change that we know we need to see in our lives, the change we know we need to see in our marriages, the change we know we need to see in our relationships, the change we know we need to see in these other areas. God, we need you. We need you. Father, it's in moments like this that we just pause for a moment. Say, God, we need you to help us change. Help us deal with the change. Help us to drive the change. We need you. Right now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe you need the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. Maybe you need right now a fresh start. Maybe you need a brand new beginning. Maybe you do not have a relationship with God and you say, Philip, in order to deal with this, to deal with everything that's going on, I need God in my life. If I'm going to drive change and become who I can be, I need God in my life. And right there where you are, if you say, Philip, that is me. Come on, just whisper right there under your breath. Say, that's me. That's me. Just tell God, God, I realize that you are talking to me right now. And maybe today you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, I just don't know how to deal with the change. I don't really know how to drive the change. Maybe you've got a negative connotation of change. Maybe you've even said things over your life. I'm not good at change. I don't like change. I hate change. And not even realizing that you are talking about the thing that the kingdom of God is really all built around, this thing of change. You say, Philip, I know that I need to change. I need to change. And I don't want any resistance to change. I don't want my laziness. I don't want my ignorance. I don't want my fear, and I don't want my ego keeping me from change, keeping me from the life that God created me to live. I want everything that he wants. Come on, right there where you are right now, just say, God, that's me. Come on, just whisper it under your breath right now. Just say, God, that's me. God, that's me. God, that's me. I want the life that you have for me, which demands that I change and demands that I deal with change in this life. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, why don't you put an amen on that right now? Hey, in just a moment, Pastor Clarissa is going to come up on the platform and she's going to begin to give you the directions. We're going to be singing a song in a moment and she's going to wrap this service up. But can I just tell you, I want to tell you, you can handle it. I know it's tough. I know the things that we've talked about over these last weeks, uncertainty and anxiety. I know we've talked about the stress. We've talked about dealing with difficult people. We've talked about disappointment, discouragement. We've talked about negativity. I know there are so many things out there, but I want you to hear me. You can handle it. You can handle it. It might require some change, but that's okay because God is with you. You are not alone, and his power is in you, working through you to lead you and guide you into the life that he designed and created you for. I want you to know that I love you. I'm cheering for you. I am praying for you. And I am believing that the best is yet to come for you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.